Hello, welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story comes from the Native American oral tradition of the Haudenosaunee, who some people call the Iroquois. The Haudenosaunee is actually a United Nations consisting of six separate nations. Those nations are the Mohawk, the Oneida, the Onondaga, the Cayuga, the Seneca, and the Tuscarora, who joined the other five in the 1700s. Haudenosaunee translates to people who build the longhouse, or the people of the longhouse. This name speaks to the unity among the five and later six nations of the Haudenosaunee. Of course, this is just a very brief overview. If you're interested in learning more, you should absolutely do some research into the rich history of the Haudenosaunee. So, today's story is Why the Leaves Change Color, a traditional Haudenosaunee story, adapted by Daniel Hines, with thanks to Mohawk storyteller Kay Olan. Today, we'd also like to thank Reagan, Teddy, McKinley, and their family, and Noah, Zoe, and Maya, and their family. Thank you for helping to support our show, Reagan, Teddy, McKinley, Noah, Zoe, and Maya. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would also like to support our show and receive a thank you in a future episode, please head to patreon.com/stories and make a pledge, then send an email to amanda@storiespodcast.com and tell us who to thank.
Hey, grown-ups, power up your family's playtime with the Nintendo Switch system, the home of Mario and friends. Jump into the unexpected with Mario, Princess Peach, and more in Super Mario Bros. Wonder, or challenge each other to a race in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Go to Nintendo.com and browse the full lineup of Nintendo Switch systems. Additional accessories may be required for multiplayer mode. Games, system, and some accessories sold separately.
Thanks! Enjoy the episode! Why the Leaves Change Color. Many winters ago, there was a small village deep in the woods of early America. The village was home to many families, all living together in peace. To keep the village fed, each day the men would go forth into the forest, hunting for deer and other game among the towering trees of oak and maple and ash. They would drink the cool stream waters from cupped hands and wait patiently for their prey, bows and spears at the ready. This was their way of life, passed from parent to child for many generations, until, one day, the hunters found something strange and terrible. It looked like the paw print of a bear, but far, far too big. It was so deep and wide that if a man fell in, he would have trouble climbing out again. Nearby, the trees were smashed and battered to splinters. The hunters, wary and worried, searched, but found no more tracks that day. Unfortunately, they also found no deer, and that night they went hungry. The next day, they ventured out to hunt again, and this time they found four great bear prints and many more trees torn root and stem from the earth. The hunters felt fear creep into their bellies, but they found no other sign of the great bear. Unfortunately, they also found no deer, and that night they went hungry. The next day, their bark longhouses were shaken near to pieces by a great roar from the forest. The birds burst from the leaves and fled on pumping wings. The rabbits burst from the brush and fled on loping feet. The deer burst from the trees and fled on nimble hooves. The people hid in their longhouses and waited. When the roars finally stopped, the hunters set out at once. They checked all their traps and went to all their best hunting spots, but there wasn't a deer or a rabbit or bird to be seen. There wasn't any animal to be seen, large or small, apart from the tracks of the great bear, making a large circle around their village. That night, too, they went hungry. A meeting was called. They all agreed the great bear was eating most of the animals and scaring off the rest, and they decided that action must be taken. They assembled a party of their best hunters, and that brave band took bow and arrow and spear and set off into the woods. The giant paw prints were all around their village, and it wasn't long before they came upon the great bear itself. It was larger than any bear ever seen or spoken of, nearly as large as a longhouse. The massive shaggy head turned towards the hunting party. It had mean black eyes and even meaner white teeth, each as long and sharp as an arrow. Lesser men may have run, but the hunters of the village were brave and hungry and desperate, and they attacked with sad cries. Sad because, even though the bear had put them in a desperate position, the people had a profound respect for the natural world and never took any joy or felt any malice in the hunt. So first came the arrows, a swarm of them buzzing through the air like hornets, but no hornet ever buzzed so straight and true. Every arrow found its mark and seemed to stick, but the bear simply shook like a wet dog and the arrows rained down to the earth. They had failed to do more than get stuck in the beast's thick fur. Next came the spears. Half were thrown and ripped through the air like striking hawks. The other half were jabbed from up close like talons. The great bear only grumbled and swatted with one enormous paw, the way a person might swat a fly. The paw caught some of the hunters and sent them spinning away into the trees. The rest of the men, seeing their attack failing, picked up their injured friends and retreated back to the village. That night they told the other men what had happened, but they were not believed. No bear could be that big, the doubters said. So the next day another party of hunters set out to find the bear. They too followed the tracks and found the beast, and they too found their bows and arrows and spears useless, and they too were driven back to the village in defeat, many of them badly injured. So it went for days. Each morning, a new party of hunters would go out, and each evening, they would return defeated and hurt. Every day left them hungrier and more desperate than the day before. There was talk of abandoning their village, but where would they go? It seemed hopeless. But then the dreams began. Three brothers, sleeping near each other in a longhouse, each dreamed of tracking the bear through the forest. The dreams were so vivid that each brother woke, still sensing the rain on their skin and the bear's musk in their noses and the well-worn wood of their weapons in their hands. Each brother had the dream, but they kept silent. The next night, the dreams came again. The three brothers dreamt of cornering the great bear against a wall of purest night with the fire raging beside. The dreams were so vivid that each brother woke, still sensing the heat on their skin and the bear's roars in their ears and the well-worn wood of their weapons in their hands. But again, they kept silent. The third night, the dreams came again. The three brothers dreamt of wounding the bear in a high and mysterious place that hung above the world. The dreams were so vivid that each brother sprung awake like an arrow from a bow, leaping high into the air and shouting a cry of alarm. That broke their silence. The three brothers talked and realized they had been having the same dreams. They knew that three brothers dreaming the same dream for three nights was more than coincidence. It was important. So they went and told their elders what they had dreamt. The elders listened carefully, knowing the power that can reside in dreams, especially dreams shared and dreams repeated. They told the brothers that even though they were very young, it was in them to hunt the bear and save their people. That same night, they had a great ceremony, one that gave the support and power of the village to the brothers and also purified them for the hunt. Their bows and arrows and spears were likewise purified and imbued with the power of their people. The next morning, the three brothers left together, carrying with them their weapons and the hopes of the village. It wasn't long before they found the bear's giant tracks and followed them, pushing deeper and deeper into the woods. The bear, perhaps having dreams of its own, fled from the brothers like it had never done before. It ran, hunted farther and farther from the village, and soon the deer and rabbits and birds all returned, and the villagers once again had food to eat. But still the brothers pursued the great bear. Finally, exhausted, the bear used its last trick. It found a mountain and climbed right up, perhaps thinking to lose the brothers on the dangerous slopes, but the brothers, driven by their dreams, went right up the mountain after it. They started to grow excited, thinking that once the bear got to the peak, there would be nowhere left for it to go. Normally, they would have been right, but the great bear was anything but normal. When it reached the peak of the mountain, it took its big paw and stepped into the air. Higher and higher it climbed, walking an invisible path through the clouds and into the heavens. The brothers, relentless, continued to follow the monstrous bear. By the time they realized they had left the ground behind, they were already far into the sky, the world a shimmering blue-green eye below them. Still, they continued their hunt. And one day, just as summer was coming to close, the bear stopped to prepare for his hibernation amongst the stars, a high and mysterious place that hung above the world. Just as the brothers had dreamed, it was there they closed in on the great beast. With their arrows and spears, they forced it away from Mother Earth so that it would never again make their people go hungry. Because their weapons had been through the purifying ceremony, their spears and arrows were able to injure the great bear where other spears and arrows had failed. The great bear wasn't badly hurt, but a scant few drops of blood dripped down from the sky onto the world below, changing the leaves from green to red. And a few drops of fat as well, changing other leaves to orange and yellow. Seeing they had wounded the great bear, the brothers allowed the beast to lay down and hibernate among the stars. The three brothers, still driven by their dreams and knowing one day the bear would wake, vowed to follow it always and keep safe their people. Their names have been lost to history, but you can still see them today, tracking the great bear across the sky. You can probably pick them out, even if you don't realize it, because today, most people call the three hunters and the bear the Big Dipper. If you find the Big Dipper in the sky, the four stars of the bowl make up the bear, and the three stars of the handle are the brothers, forever hunting it to keep safe Mother Earth. Every year, they chase the bear all through the summer. They wound it in the fall, its blood dripping down and coloring the leaves. Then the bear grows tired and falls into winter hibernation, where it disappears to heal, returning in time to begin the chase anew in the spring. The End. Today's story was a traditional Haudenosaunee story adapted by Daniel Hines and performed by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support the show, please head to our iTunes page and leave us a review. If you would like to receive a thank you in a future episode, please visit patreon.com/stories to make a pledge, then send an email to amanda@storiespodcast.com and tell us who we should thank. Thanks for listening! Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.